later.
Obituaries are modest, aren't they? Yeah. Shirt always tucked in, skirt kept below the knee. Died unexpectedly. Could be anything from a heart attack while sitting on the Jakes to being stabbed by a burglar in the bedroom. Cops mostly know the truth, though. You don't always want to know, especially when it's one of your own, but you do. Because most of the time we're the guys who show up first with our reds lit and the walkie-talkies on our belts crackling out what sounds like so much gibble-gabble to the John Qs. For most folks who die unexpectedly, we're the first faces their staring open eyes can't see. When Tony Shane Dinks told us he was going to retire, I remember thinking, good, that's good. He's getting a little long in the tooth, not to mention a little slow on the uptake. Now, in the year 2006, I'm getting ready to pull the pin myself, and probably some of my younger guys are thinking the same thing. Long in the tooth, and slow in the draw. But mostly, you know, I feel the same as I ever did. Full of piss and vinegar, ready to work a double shift just about any day of the week. Most days when I note the gray hair which now predominates the black, or how much more forehead there is below the place where the hair starts, I think it's a mistake, a clerical error which will eventually be rectified when brought to the attention of the proper authorities. It is impossible, I think, that a man who still feels so profoundly 25 can look so half-past 50. Then there'll be a stretch of bad days and I'll know it's no error. Just time marching on, that shuffling, rueful tread. But was there ever a moment as bad as seeing Ned behind the wheel of the Buick Roadmaster 8? Yes, there was one. Shirley was on duty when the call came in. A crack-up out on SR-32 near the Humboldt Road intersection, where the old Jenny Station used to be, in other words. Shirley's face was pale as ashes when she came and stood in the open door of my office. "What is it?" I asked. "What the hell's wrong with you?" "Sandy, the man who called it in said the vehicle was an old Chevrolet, red and white. He says the driver's dead," she swallowed. "In pieces, that's what he said." That part I didn't care about, although I would later, when I had to look at it. At him. "The Chevrolet. Have you got the model?" I didn't ask Sandy. I couldn't. Her eyes were full of tears. I didn't dare. "But how many old red and white Chevrolets do you think there are in Statler County?" I went out to the scene with Phil Candleton, praying the crashed Chevy would turn out to be a Malibu or a Biscayne, anything but a Bel Air, vanity plate MY57. But that's what it was. "Fuck," Phil said in a low, dismayed voice. He'd piled it into the side of the cement bridge, which spans the Red Fern stream less than 5 minutes' walk from where the Buick 8 first appeared, and where Curtis was killed. The Bel Air had seat belts, but he hadn't been wearing one, nor were there any skid marks. "Christ almighty," Phil said. "This ain't right." Not right and not an accident. Although in the obituary, where shirts are kept neatly tucked in and skirts are kept discreetly below the knee, it would only say he died unexpectedly, which was true. Lord, yes. Looky-loos had started showing up by then, slowing to stare at what lay face down on the bridge's narrow walkway. I think one asshole actually took a picture. I wanted to run after him and stuff a shitty little disposable camera down his throat. "Get some detour signs up," I told Phil. "You and Carl send the traffic around by County Road. I'll cover him up." Jesus, what a mess. Jesus. Who's going to tell his mother?